This afternoon, I want to share with you a message about intercessions. The passage that is coming from is from Genesis. It's where Abraham is interceding for this particular city called Sodom. And so, for those who do not know about intercession, basically intercession is people use to describe it standing in a gap, praying for others, seeking favor from God, praying for other peoples. And let's turn to our Bible. So if you don't have a Bible, put up your hand and our ushers will come and bring the Bible to you. And for those who have the Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 18, verse 17 to 19. Genesis 18, 17 to 19. The Bible said here, the scripture said here, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Seeing Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. For I have chosen him, so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteous and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. Before we start, let's bow our head and just pray and before the message. Heavenly Father, we just ask you to pour out your Spirit over us, Lord. Will you open our eyes to behold your presence? Open our ears to hear your voice. Open our heart to receive you, Holy Spirit. That your word may your word engrave in our hearts so we can always carry it. Jesus, you are the word of God, and I just ask you to come into our heart and speak to us so that you know our mouth can proclaim praises to you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Probably you all heard about Abraham. He's at the very beginning at the book of Genesis. He is being known as the father of all nations. And in the Bible, he is being described as a man of faith and also a friend of God. He has this relationship with God. And this afternoon, we're going to go through chapter 18. First, I'll give you an overview on the background of the story. And also, then we go into more detail as in how God meet him and how God speak to him and how God shaped him through his act of faith, his taking the step to pray for other people. So the story starts at chapter 18, verse 1. In the heat of the afternoon, Abraham is camping in a website as a certain campsite because you know at that time they were just moving from one place to another place. And three men in the Bible say three men come and visit. And later on, if we move back later on, we will find that one of them is God and two is the angel. And so Abraham welcomed them, received them, give them water, eat with them. And at that time, that at the end of the meal, that God actually prophesied over Sarah. Sarah is very old already and way past his childbearing age. And at that time, God prophesied over Sarah and Abraham that they're going to have a son in the year after. And the story ends about this and the three men in the Bible, it said, ready to leave. And Abraham saw them off and sent them off together. And they reached this higher place where they can actually look down to the city of Sodom. And this is where verse 17 come in, when they look down onto the city of Sodom, which is a city full of sin. And God, at that particular time, decided to disclose to Abraham that his plan to destroy that city. And at that particular point of time, some people say that, you know, because Abraham's nephew was living in that city, so therefore he was interceding. But as we're looking at the passage, actually Abraham is doing more. He's interceding for the whole city. And he go boldly before God and he challenged God. God, you are so just. If you are a righteous God, if there is 50 righteous men in the city, will you not destroy them? Because it's not fair. You're killing the righteous and the wicked together. And so God listened to his argument, and he decided, okay, if there's 50 people, righteous people in that city, I won't destroy the city. And then, you know, Abraham go one step and going to say, if there is 45, will you not kill? And he just continued to bargain with God, negotiate with God. And he's pretty good. Actually, we negotiate down to 10. So it's pretty awesome. You go do the skill of negotiation coming from not destroying the city. If the only 10 righteous men that is still in the city that you will not destroy. And as soon as God agreed to that, God stood up and could lift Abraham. And that's the end of the story. And later on, probably also in chapter 19, we see that there is no righteous man in that city. And so God end up striking and burn off the whole city with brimstones and smoke coming out. And chapter 19, that's very interesting on chapter 19, verse 29, if you can turn to that. Chapter 19, verse 29. You know, God really is such a merciful God. He say that, you know, even there is no righteous man, but because he remembered Abraham, he remembered his intercessions, he decided to spare the life of Lot and his family, the two daughters. And you know, when I was preparing this message, and one thing that, you know, sometimes we've been taught in seminary, like it's three, we call it a three-point sermon. You come up with 3 points and you build up your sermon. And I was looking at this passage, looking at it again and again. I realized, you know what? I can see our SP motto into this particular passage. Our SP motto is to know him, to be like him, and to make him known. And when I look at this message, I think, oh, God, first thing I see that the reason that God wants us to be part, to involve in his plan of salvation is to know him, to be like him, and to make him known. And I will put that into three different parts with you this afternoon. And the first thing that God wants us to involve in intercession, praying for other people, praying for a person or a nation, things that he wants us to know him. He is a personal God. He's a relational God. He wants to have relationship with us. So we see in this passage, the dialogue between God and Abraham, they are talking back and forth, reasoning and teaching Abraham what is justice. And the reason he say that, you know, I will not hide all these things on my plan, I will not hide my plan away from Abraham because I have called him and he's going to be the great and mighty nations and all nations is going to be blessed through him. So basically, you know, for us, when we look at the passage today, that we are considered, Christians are considered as the descendants. We inherit through the cross, the blood of Jesus who died for us. We are able to become part of the nation under the blessing of Abraham. What does it mean is that we have the power to bless and we have the power to curse and we have the power to intercede. We are given a position, a status by God. Simply because of Jesus, we are able to put ourselves to be able to pray for others, to plead mercy for people who do not know God, or pray for others, for many other matters. And the things that God wants us to know that he wants to, through the intercession time, that if we build relationship with God, we understand who God is. And also, he wants us to be involved in the plan of salvation. Another thing that, you know, in this passage that God is teaching Abraham is what is righteous and what is just. You know, we some of us actually went to a wedding last week in Taiwan for Katerina, and I went to this church called in 101 Church. It's basically in the Taiwan 101 building, the tallest building in Taiwan. And the message really touched my heart. When the pastor was sharing about this particular part, about this little incident that he was crossing the street with his young son. And, you know, sometimes the question raised by the kid is really profound when you really, you know, caught by surprise sometimes. And as he was crossing the road, and the son was asking him, as, you know, why does Jesus has to die for us? You know, for someone, I've been on outreach many occasions, and we learn how to share the gospel. And immediately, I was sitting there, I was thinking, yeah, easy answer, because the wages of sin is death. So anyone who committed sin, you have to die. And so that, you know, someone have to die for you, so Jesus died for you on the cross, and so you don't have, your life is spared because of Jesus. But, you know, as I was sitting there, and he paused and asked us to reflect, you know, God can really, God is so powerful. He can do anything. He can raise people from death. He can heal the, you know, the lame and the blind and do all this miracle. But yet, sin is something that he has to die. He cannot do his miracle, do away with his miracle, because sin is so bad, even it's so small. But the gravity of sin means death. It's so heavy. Even, you know, to us, it's sometimes, you know, a lot of us, like, felt that, you know, we haven't done major wrong thing in our life, but we probably have lied, cheat, or whatever, like, simple thing, or even, you know, little kids steal stuff, and we didn't think that was the penalty, because we did not have the lens of God, and seeing that sin is so bad that it worth death penalties. And because Jesus willing to die, it turned our lens into, yes, sin is so great that it worth of destruction. It is exactly what happened in this particular passage in Genesis. The city of Sodom is so bad. If we go to chapter 19, we can see that there's murder, sexual immoralities, all these crazy things that happen. People knock on people's doors. And the story is like two angels go into Lot's house, and then the city, or like people from the city of Sodom, and say, come bring the man out and we can have sex with him. It's just crazy. And it's like, yeah, so this is like how bad the place is. But yet, you know, God allowed Abraham to know his plan. And also God showed us that he's a justice God. He does not just strike, and he heard. The scriptures say that there's outcry, that the sin is so bad that there is outcry from the land and calling out for justice to be done. But yet, it also mentioned in the scriptures that God do not just go and strike and destroy the city. He actually go down and check it out. Is it really that bad? It is very bad. And he also opened this opportunity for Abraham, because he is the one that who's going to cause a difference into these nations. He has a right to say in these matters. So God invited him to participate in this particular plan of salvation. And so we see in this journey that Abraham start negotiating with God. And he come down with 10 people. And, you know, a lot of people say that because Abraham knows God's heart, and so he know God is merciful, so that he know that he can get a way of thinking because God is so merciful and love. But I also look at this whole thing about, you know, talking to God, interceding for others. It's a journey of knowing who God is. He's a righteous God, but he's also a merciful God. And this journey of back and forth, talking to God, it's a process that we come to know him. And the second part about, you know, about this insight about to be like him. A few weeks ago, Pastor Eugene actually shared a message, really great message if you can go back to. It's the Micah 6:8 message. You talk about to do justice and love mercy. And he was like, you know, a lot of time when we look at that particular passage, that, okay, we do justice, we do good thing, and also do mercy with love and compassion, and it can coexist. But when you really think about the cool concept, actually it doesn't sync together. Because if it's justice, it means destruction, killing, and all this, like total destruction. But how can mercy is beyond, it's like way, mercy and grace is like beyond what you can pay. It is way about mercy. And how can the two concepts actually sinking together and singing together and come to senses together? And I remember, like, I asked Pastor Eugene after that message, and he told me that morning he was looking at the cross here. At the cross, he see that happen together. It happened to see that the penalty of sin worth death penalty, and Jesus died, and justice is done on the cross. But yet at the same time, Jesus' blood shed for us, our sin are forgiven, and we can have this new life in the kingdom of God. And it all happened at the cross. Justice and mercy happened at the cross. And I was like, when I was listening to that message, like, this is so profound. And so I remember after the EMP, I asked him, so how do we apply that in our life? Okay, Jesus did that. What do we do? What do we have to sacrifice to actually have experienced the justice and mercy at the same time? And as I was going through this particular message, when I was preparing this message, I realized, you know, when we intercede, that happened. When we sacrifice our prayer, our intercession for other people, we experience the mercy of God. But yet at the same time, we understand the gravity of the death penalty. And at intercessions, we experience the justice of God. But at the same time, with our sacrifice of prayer, we have that together. So I guess God answered my questions, like, after a few weeks. And you know, in the Bible, so many times, in the book of Hebrews, it talks about Jesus always lived to intercede for us, for every one of us. And we are to learn to intercede. Also, like Jesus, we intercede for other peoples. And when we intercede, we can bring the two extreme, this paradoxic extreme coming together and experiencing the justice of God and the mercy of God. And another thing that, you know, we learned about from this passage, verse 19, it talks about that, you know, we, the reason also why we intercede is that, if we can look at it, the reason that why we intercede is that for I have chosen him, so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteous and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. What he says spoken about him, he's going to be a father of nations. And this about intercession is not for one, it's for everyone. It's meant to pass down to generations. And it is, we are chosen. In the Bible, the First Peter, we're talking about we are considered, after we become Christian, the whole church, we are body of this body of Christ, is the holy nation, as a royal priesthood, who a call, and if I may put in, fill in the blank, is who are called to intercede for others. It doesn't have to be, you know, you don't, doesn't have to be very mature. You can, even you are baby Christian, one day Christian, you can still pray for others because God listens to prayer. And here, you know, to put it in, and we meant to pass it on to the children. The children here doesn't mean that our children, just like biological children, but it also means anyone that who are new to the kingdom of God, new Christians, that you want to share your experience of intercession, share how you pray and how, this process, how you interact with God, how you develop your relationship with God, and you share with them, and then you teach them how to intercede. I don't know whether this is correct word to teach, but really sharing your experience so that they can also experience God. And the one thing that I want to share with you, that the fact that I'm standing here, able to preach, able to share this message with you, is all about intercessions. This week is really chaotic. Everything's just pulling me different directions. And I quickly, on after Monday, I know I'm desperate, so I send out message to people who pray for me. And sure enough, I'm calm enough now, like, have my message and everything. But really, I do experience that power of God coming through the prayer. And I know that because that's my journey, that I do not feel that, you know, I have enough, but yet who God come through because of the prayer support. And also, the thing that I can stand before you guys, it's because of people praying for my salvation as well. I just want to share with you this particular colleague who worked with me. And I work in this shipping company in Wan Chai. And and there's one or two Christians, there's no fellowship group and all this. But gradually, you know, in the course of my working there, we develop a fellowship group, I become a Christian and all this. And one of the sisters actually shared with me, you know, she on her way to work, when she first met me, she thought I'm a good worker and pretty smart, like, in a certain way. And she thinking that, you know, if this person can join the kingdom of God, that would be so great for God. And he started praying for me on her journey to work. You know, basically she take an MTR train from Jeonggwan O to Wan Chai. And she sometimes, not every day, but every now and then she thought about me. And she would start praying for my salvation. And I know that she's not the only one who pray for my salvation, but I really want to contribute to that, because I know that sometimes that we didn't think that prayer, the intercession is so important, but it is, because it's very clear, you know, I don't know about your journey of God, but I have denied it so many times, God. I don't want him to be in my life. I can do all the idol worshiping and do all the other things, but going to church, but turning to Christianity. And really, it is the prayer of that lady and also other people who brought me to Christ. And the last point about making him known, as I look at the passage early on, we meant to pass on what we experienced through intercessions to share with other people this experience, that how we experience God. So if I can, I'll probably do a little promo again on our outreach on the 28th, Saturday. We are going to this place, it's in Shenwan. That area actually used to be brothels and gambling houses and all this, but now, of course, it's all cleaned up, become residential. One particular Christian in a local church paid a rent. He rent these really tiny corner shops to call that a gospel station, where they keep they play music there, they pray there, and to talk to the people who are passing by and bring them to Christ on the street at that corner shop. And they even do discipling. After they become Christians, they can do discipling, teaching them basic Christianity at that particular corner shops. And we have in the past, I think last year, the worship team actually went down with me together to go to that particular area. We actually worship there. So this time in July, we are going to worship there. You know, one thing that I strongly believe that, you know, worship is a way of spiritual warfare as well, that changing the spiritual environment over there. And even though we cannot speak Cantonese, we can go there and pray and prepare the land so that when the seed of God, when the gospel land on the heart of the people are more open to it. So that particular, you know, outreach, we are going to have people who can speak Cantonese, can share with the local, or, you know, sometime passing by, you have Philippine, Indonesians and all these like other ethnicity that you can use your English to share the gospel. But also that we will be taking turn to worship in Chinese, in English. And so if you are interested, please contact me on that. And that's definitely an opportunity to experience that intercession, to experience that how life being changed through your prayer and worship. And the other thing that, as I mentioned earlier, that, you know, we are meant to share our testimony. We are called to be the witness for God. And this experience of praying for other people actually build up our faith. And, you know, the faith of Abraham doesn't come overnight. All this opportunity to get to know God build up our faith. And I would like to share with you two stories that, you know, my intercession story that really impacted my life. Many years back, I think back in 2007, and I guess I'm a relatively younger Christian back then, and I'm really excited, like, seeing how God worked in many things and how life being changed by God. And I remember I was serving in various ministry, our youth ministry, I served in the house church, and I do, you know, other than the church service, I also went to other Christian organizations to volunteer work. And I basically packed my schedule back to back from one place to another place. And I became so tired And every time I go before God, it's praying for the ministry. I hardly have any time for myself. And so my energy level, like my fuel tank running so low, that to a point that I would describe that as a burnout, to a point that I actually skipped church one time at that time. To me, it was shocking because I love church, I love God, and how can I miss Sunday? And I did. And I remember this particular instant I have is we have a youth birthday party. I just finish it off, and then which is in North Point, and then I have to rush off to my godmother's who is in Kowloon Tong, and at that time she was suffering from depressions. And she was calling me and asking me where about you are, and it's just like, it feels like the burden of the world just on my shoulder. And I did this crazy thing that I would not imagine I would have done, is I actually cry on the street. Because it's like the burden is so heavy. You're just doing one thing and then you move on to another, and just not having the time of resting in God. And so I went through that period of time that I kind of with God, but I was also disconnected with God. And during that time, I would describe that as my lower point in my spiritual walk. And I was struggling, and I prayed to God and said, I need to get out from these conditions. What can I do? And God at that time just gave me a name. Her name is Angela. And she's the one who actually brought me to SP, who is the one who introduced me again to Christianity. And she's one of the members in this church. And during that time, SP is having a 21 days fast. And before the fast, usually we will ask you to list down the things that you want to pray. List down maybe like any people that God inspire you and move you to pray and intercede. And I'm one of them. And at that particular time that God actually told her, she's a woman of actions, like things like she sees a problem, he will go to solve it. And particularly at that time, God actually asked her not to contact me. Just pray, fast and pray for me. And on the third day of the fast and pray, I was asked, in my desperation, no one around me, I have that name. God spoke to me about Angela, so I call her. And then she told me that she had been fasting and praying for me for the 3 days. And she will continue to do that. And it was just that moment that you know that God have not left you. He never forsake you. He was there. Even though at your low point, he will raise people up even without you knowing it. This is how much God cares for you. You know, on the receiving end, you see, God, you're so good. You love me so much. And so I came back. I was invited to come to SP during the EMP. When I hear the sermon, I just suddenly realized I was so hungry for God's word. Before, I was busy doing all these things, serving him, but I'm not getting my feeding. And so I was recharged, and now I'm in SP. And so... so definitely, you know, intercession is so important. Especially, you know, when someone is like no power, no energy to do anything, but yet come through. Another intercession story that I have, this is even like my faith is like very baby Christian back then. I remember I would write journal every night. I would talk to God through my journal, and I would write to him and all this. And so as my relationship with God deepened every day, he showed me more things. He showed me a certain bondage that is in my family. You wouldn't believe it, but one major bondage that is in my family is the TV. We actually, you know, think about it, like, you know, we probably in a normal Hong Kong family, eating dinner and you're watching TV, you have no dialogue. It seems like that you're having family time, but yet you're not having family time. But I'm growing up not knowing that this is not family time. I grew up thinking that this is our time together. And I remember back in those days in Australia, they have this video renting service. Basically, you can rent all 40 episodes or 60 episodes at one go, and then you can watch from morning to dawn. So basically, our family, on our family day, will turn on the TV, put in the videotape, we watch it from the morning. The only break that we have is toilet break and lunch and dinner, and that's all we do. And just watch it, the whole episode, and then we enjoy ourselves, and then this is our family life. And then, when I was doing my devotion, God just revealed to me, hey, this has been a bondage over your family, that Satan have used that as a means to take away what you can communicate and talk to your family or connect with your family. Because for us, we connected to TV. We never really connected next to each other. And so I start writing my journal and I start doing spiritual warfare without knowing, I don't even know the term spiritual warfare until later, but I did say, like, go to hell, Satan, and stuff like that. And I don't, you know, I was just like, whoa, yeah. And you know, without knowing anything, I just wrote that. And then next day, I receive a call from a friend. She's like, even younger Christian than me. I brought her to Christ and for less than a couple months. And so she knew nothing, but she was telling me that she was praying in her shower for her sister. She ended up praying for me. And so she called me. Everything okay? You know, God, like, well, I was taking my shower and God asked me to, you know, move me to pray for you. And so I share, oh, I don't know, maybe, you know, I might be doing something that night. So in the span of 5 days, every day, she'd been, as I was writing my journal and doing unknowingly my warfare thing, she was praying for me in her shower every time. And it was so funny. On the fourth day, she decided, you know what? Every time when I try to pray for my own sister, I end up praying for Sophia. Tonight, I'm going to pray for my husband and see what happened. And again, she ended up praying for me. And I was like, you know, during this journey, it's like, it's really amazing. You know, God raised up people to pray for you. And out of that particular time, this particular long stretch of 5 day intercession ended with a moment she actually was on the MTR on her way to work from Corrie Bay to Central. A bit of background, she's a lawyer, so she doesn't do crazy things on MTR. And so she was basically what happened that morning is that she was ordering her devotions and just reading her devotion, and God just moved her to start interceding for me. And she start really doing warfare. The language, she's such a baby Christian that she would not have those language, but at one particular point, she was saying, telling me that although we lost a battle, but we have won the war. And it was like full-on warfare language. And you would not expect someone have no background to come up with that. But she ended up praying and interceding for me during that time. There's other pieces to that, but during that stretch of five days, I really experienced the breakthrough of God and how He changed my family. And one particular point that, you know, even today, her intercessions still bless me, still give me a lot of hope, is when she sees these pictures of my family holding hands in heaven, singing with joy and all this. You know, most of my family members, my parents, none of them are Christians. And, you know, I'm still praying for them. But still today, when I look back these incidents, I know that God will come through. His promise for my family to know Him, to be in this kingdom of God, will come to pass. And it, up to today, it still touched my heart and encouraged me when I see nothing happened in the family, nothing changed, but I still hold on to it because of what she shared about her journey with God, her journey, how she interceded for me. And you know, brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage you, you know, that God, we are called to be that holy nation. We are called to intercede. We are given, not everyone is given that status to be able to intercede for others. You know, in this particular message, we won't go into detail. But Abraham is very clear. We are only dust and so, like, we are nothing. But yet God gives us this position to be able to pray and intercede. And also, because we're given that position, we are to share our testimony. We are the testimony for God, even the journey of praying for other people. And at this point, I would just like to invite the worship team to come up. And, you know, I want us to spend some time in this afternoon to really start interceding for other people. And so, you know, every day we, like what Brother Matt has shared, you know, we see homeless or see other injustice things that happen. We just let it pass by because we have so much, all these news and media things that just bombarding us. We become so desensitized. And I just invite you to talk to God, to ask God to reveal to you things that we need to pray for the city. Things, or maybe, I don't want to limit what God wants to do for you, but if, as you bow your heads, close your eyes, ask God to reveal to you one person or people group or even a nation that we can start praying for. And so let's quiet down our heart and really ask God to reveal to us just one person or one people group or something that is in this happening in the city that God wants you to see and start interceding for.
nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place as we gather to seek your face.
As we are
gathered to seek your face.
So as I was singing this song, I just was reminded that our Indonesian team are now leading by Pastor. Life from deep within our hearts. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppressions, and exploitation of God's creations, so that we may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, hunger, and war, so that we may reach out our hands to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. May God bless you with just enough foolishness to believe that we can make a difference in the world, so that we can do what other claims cannot be done, to bring justice and kindness to all our children and all our neighbors who are poor. Amen.